Blog Talk Radio.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left to do?
Come on.
Truth. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I...
Amen, amen. Good evening, everyone. That was an awesome song that you started out with. I said, okay, that was right on time. Welcome to D&K Bible Break, everyone. Thank you for tuning in another week with us. We have a great topic for you all on tonight. I'm going to let my husband start us off with the topic, but before I do that, I'm going to open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you this evening. First of all, asking for forgiveness for any and everything that I've done wrong on this day that was unpleasing in your sight. Lord, I ask for forgiveness for any wrong attitudes. I ask for forgiveness for any wrong demeanors or it just coming across the wrong way. I ask that you forgive me for that right now before I come before your people. Also, Lord, I ask that you continue to just let your will be done in our lives. I ask that you continue to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask that you be in the midst of us on this evening. Let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Thank you for being the true living Savior that you are. Thank you for just being an awesome God, miracle worker. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Good evening. Happy Monday to everybody. And Mr. Oliver, are you on the line as well?
Yes.
Yes. All right, you want to say hello to people?
Good evening, everyone. We just want to thank you for joining us for another episode of D&K Bible Break. Most importantly, we just want to give honor to the Lord ahead of our lives. We want to just say thank you for waking us up this morning, giving us the activity of our lives and putting us in the right frame of mind, to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. also want to give thanks to all my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Outback, Finish Line, and Brentwood Publishing for allowing us to do what we do and just supporting us 100% throughout the years. I also want to just thank the Lord for all that he's doing in our life, for all of Chaos Talk broadcasts, all of our shows and people who come on every week and present a show. We just want to thank all of those as well. Tonight we're going to have a conversation. And like I said, this isn't a Bible study. If you want to call it a Bible study, you can. But pretty much it's just a conversation using the Word of God to try to help us, whatever the subject may be or topic may be, throughout the week or throughout the month or what's going on in the world today. We like to just have a conversation about it and how should we deal with certain things as Christians or believers. In Christ. And tonight won't be no different. We're going to have a conversation about, I like to use the word true discipleship, or not so much true discipleship. I'm going to bring on, I'm going to have a special guest come on here in a few seconds once we get it started, where we're going to talk about, you know, can you, as a Christian or a believer, can you just lead anybody to Christ? Or do you have to be called? Or should you take them to the church house? The day that I was growing up, when I was growing up years ago, it was always taught to bring people to church, invite people to church, and let, when they get to the church, let the people in the church handle them. And you know, that's just the way I grew up. Not saying that we couldn't save people right there on the spot, because in my long journey of serving the Lord, that has happened. But what I've noticed is everybody isn't equipped to lead people to salvation. Everyone isn't equipped to minister to people. You know, I'm not saying no one can do it. God can use anybody, and I do believe that. But some folks just aren't equipped to do certain things. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Just because you got a driver's license doesn't mean that you know how to drive, but you got a license. And a lot of people won't ride with certain people because of the way they drive, but they got a license. Just because you profess to be saved doesn't mean that you can go save everybody. And that's pretty much what we're going to talk about today. And I just have and it's just my opinion, and, you know, I'm going to use and say that a lot tonight. It's just my opinion. I believe people can be saved and people can be used by the Lord to bring people, to bring salvation to you. But at the same time, I believe that it's our job is to bring people into the church house. So with that being said, Kay, you have anything you want to add to it?
Well, I guess I do. You know what? I'll wait. I'll just let us get into the flow of what we're going to do. Because like you, I do have a thought process when it comes to what you just said.
Well, what's the thought process?
Well, I think my thought process is a lot of the times, you know, you said like when you were growing up and you were taught to bring people to church and let the people at the church handle them. And I didn't grow up that way, so I don't know that way of doing it. I just pretty much, if I had a friend, hey, you want to go, go. If they didn't want to go, they didn't want to go. But it wasn't so, my mindset as a younger person, I wasn't even thinking about leading anybody to Christ. I was just like, do you want to go to church? And it was pretty much that, church. It wasn't the mindset of, you know, trying to make sure my friends were saved. I didn't have that mindset. Now that I'm older, it's like I want people to experience the beauty of not just being at church, but I want them to experience the full effect of who Jesus is. So if they don't go to church with me, it's fine. But, you know, you're proud of your church. You do want people to go to your church with you to experience. But if they choose not to and they still, you know, want to be your friend and you know, you can draw them that way as well. That's my opinion about it. They don't necessarily have to go to the church. But if they choose to, that's fine. If they choose not to, that's fine. That's my opinion about it.
Okay. So, and that's fine. I mean, everyone has different perspectives. I'm going to bring on no stranger to my show, Overseer Timothy Jackson. I got on the line as well. And he's been listening to us. I just want to get his take. He's pastors before. I just want to see. Because it seems as like today, don't nobody want to go to church. Everybody want a church from home. And people say, well, you can get saved and you the church, you can do it right then and there. And I believe that you can. but also believe that you can mess up somebody as well. But I'm going to get into that a little bit later. I just want to introduce to those that are listening. We have Overseer Timothy Jackson from Texas on the line. Good evening.
Is he there? Good evening, sir. How y'all doing? Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay.
Good evening. Good evening. How you doing, Sister Kay? Brother Derek,
good,
how y'all
good,
doing?
Good.
Good. Good to hear you guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You heard what we were talking about. I just want to get your just the introduction, just your thought process on what our topic is going to be tonight.
Okay, so if I believe that if I'm hearing correctly, we're talking about can anyone or if a person is looking for direction towards Christ, should we direct them to someone else that has more experience, or should we ourselves, depending on our level of experience and salvation, should we try to teach them and guide them through salvation? Or, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just trying to make sure I'm understanding the question before I answer it. So let's say you have a friend, I think Sister Casey, let's say, you know, like, let's take her example. She said back in the day when you were young, you know, you would just, like, invite your friends to church. You wouldn't really, you know, just tuned into, you know, hey, do you want to be saved or anything? Hey, you know, would you like to come to church? So at this day and time, for me, if I was to invite someone to church, I would probably would invite them. You know, that's the way to get started is to invite them because a lot of people, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to get too religious with them off the bat. Even if you've been knowing them for years, you want to start out by inviting them to church. But that's just one of the scenarios that I'm offering. Am I hearing your question correctly? Let me know
if I'm not
understanding. Okay. I want to make sure I'm understanding your question. So for me, the way I look at it, in my position, let me just start out from when I first got saved. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything about the plan of salvation when I first got saved. So to answer many people's question, do you have to know the plan of salvation? Do you have to know the correct way to come to God? There is no correct way to come to God when you're sincere in your heart and you understand who the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is. That's what pastors is for, to introduce us to God, the one and only true God. And so once we come to him, because I remember, you know, my experience was, you know, God, I'm coming to you. Now, I didn't know how to say it or what to do. I was just like, God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. I knew that from growing up in the church and my dad being a pastor. I knew that much. I just wanted to go to heaven. So to me, that was my confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. I was sincere about it. God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die. I don't want to be lost. I used to always remember the pastors back in the day. So I always teach, you know, you don't want to be lost. Don't lose your soul. That's what it means. Don't lose your soul and end up going to hell. And so for me, that was my thing back in 2000. I'll never forget. I was just like, you know what? I just want to go to heaven. I don't want to burn. I don't want to go to hell. I didn't know anything about the lake of fire then, but I was just saying I didn't want to go to hell. So again, everybody's experience is different when it comes to, you know, introduction to salvation, whether it's through a friend, whether it's, you know, you just having a tragic situation in your life. We all come to Christ in various ways. I've had a friend say that she just came to Christ. She said there was no, she'd been in church all her life. She decided to become a saint. There was nothing that kind of pushed her in that direction. Some people are pushed in that direction because of maybe something that's going, maybe they're struggling financially, maybe they're going through something. But to answer more your question more directly, as far as me inviting someone then, my approach when I first got saved to people was more dogmatic, and that's because I didn't know any better. My approach was, hey, I found something new. I found this great thing. I found God. Hey, you should find him too. I would shove it down my friends, you know, say, man, you know, we did this all our lives. God has blessed us to live this long time. It's time for us to change and give our life. Because, again, you know, I was a baby in Christ. I was very new to it. Like I said, I didn't know how to confess with the mouth. I didn't know how to do it. I just felt good about being saved, knowing that, hey, if I was to die the next instant, I knew where I was going to be. I was going to be with God for all eternity, and that's what I knew, and that's what you want other people to experience. Like I say, especially when you come from that transition, you're on fire for God. And so now you fast forward through the years. As I have matured, I've learned to be less – the Holy Spirit has dealt with me on being less dogmatic and more aggressive to my approach. And instead, I approach with love, because that's the way that we're supposed to approach, is with love. And we don't want to pressure people. We want to also pray. You want to also intercede with God on your approach, on how to approach people. If they acknowledge, because a lot of people just come out straight and tell you, I'm not saved, I don't believe in God, or you know, I don't understand it, or I'm interested in it. And so with that, you know, we have to strategize our approach. I remember a young man here, one of my friend's son, I heard them talking, and I don't, you know, my son, he's pretty good about witnessing to his friends, and I applaud him greatly for that, because he's not afraid to just, you know, come out, you know, and say to his friends, you know, whatever, you know, as far as trying to introduce them to Christ, introduce them to salvation. And so one of his friends was saying, no, I would be interested in that. And so just hearing him say that, of course, you know, I listened to them for a little bit, and then I kind of intervened and just kind of simply explained to him that salvation is not something that it's not something that you do, it's something that you accept, meaning that you don't have to live a certain way to receive salvation. See, a lot of people believe that, and that's incorrect teaching. You don't live your way into salvation. The Bible says you have faith. That's why the Bible says without faith, it is what? It is impossible. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying impossible. Go ahead.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's about the scripture says impossible to please God. So your works don't please God, because we fail at our works. So he said that if you have faith in me, that's what the whole purpose of the cross was. That was the whole purpose in the beginning in Genesis in the garden. God said that I'm going to plant a seed from the beginning. And the cross is to save us. Christ did all the work to put us into heaven. For us to walk through the gates of heaven, Christ has already did the work. Nobody, no man ever in the history and the existence of mankind could ever, ever, ever do what Christ did. We just can't do it. That's why God sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, meaning to die spiritually, eternally, but have what? The opposite, everlasting life eternally. That's why when we accept salvation now, we are saved. So hopefully I'm answering your question or giving you some insight on, you know, the approach as far as, you know, people, you know, as far as, you know, your approach on, I guess, leading people to Christ as far as should you be experienced. I say even if you're not experienced, definitely try. I mean, because I remember, again, when I first got saved, you know, I didn't really know much. I'll never forget this young lady. Her name was Tommy. And she was battling with whether to be a Christian or to be a Muslim. And so I guess she had been someone that was a Muslim had been talking to her. And because she knew I was a saint, now I was a little bit more mature because I wasn't my first, I believe I was like my second, going to my third year of salvation. So I was a little bit more mature. And I kind of, you know, the Spirit dealt with me on how to deal with people. And so she kind of came at me in an aggressive way. In a, you know, like dogging Christianity. And so at this point, I was mature enough to respond in love. And that's so important that that's why the scripture said we deal with people in love in a soft way. And so responded to her, you know, and just lightly answered her questions about God. And, you know, lo and behold, the Spirit must have dealt with her. She came back, I think, maybe within a month later, and she said, Tim, you were right. And, you know, she came back and told me she had confessed God. She believed what I had told her, and that was a blessing. And so we all should – it's all of our duties. Even if you're brand new, just now saved, it's our responsibility to live a life, you know, in front of people, to talk to people, because the Holy Spirit will deal with you when you're new. The Holy Spirit will sometimes tell you what to say, not sometimes, but really will tell you what to say. It will, the Holy Spirit will guide you on what to do. So we don't want to shun away from teaching salvation or trying to show people the way just because we're new. Because, no, that's what God wants you to do. In fact, I always tell people, I love to hear children in church talk and ask questions, because children ask some of the best questions, because you want to know why. As a babe, there is no wrong way with God. That's why he told Christ, that's why Christ told the disciple, suffer not little children. Why? Because such is the kingdom of heaven. You never know who you may win over when you're a babe in Christ. So, so there you go.
Amen.
All glory to the Most High.
Amen. You want to go ahead and respond, Kay?
There's a couple of points I wanted to touch on based off of what you said. It's important that we approach people properly, because, like you said, you don't want to come across, trying to shove something down somebody's throat. You don't need to argue or put any pressure on anybody. We should be doing things, in love. And that's how you draw people. They know if you're real or not. We have to be genuine when we're approaching people. Even if it's just a conversation, it could be about anything, but it's how you do things. So we do have to, show the love of Christ. And John 1:12 says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. All they got to do is believe and accept him. You don't have to go through all of this other stuff that people say, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that. And because you're going to confuse people. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. You don't have to make sure it's clear and make sure it's simple when you're talking to somebody about the Lord. The most effective way to me is life experience. Give your testimony. Tell about what God has done for you. Let them know that God loves them. Everybody is searching for something in this world. People are really hungry. They're hungry for Christ, but they don't even know it. They're trying to fill this void that they have within them with whatever they're doing, whether it's a false religion or an idol or drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever they're doing, they're trying to fill a void. And to me, that's a cry for, I need Christ. And it's my job to tell them, hey, I know somebody, who can help you when you feel like everything is against you. And my other thing I wanted to say is in reference to when we were talking about the church. And it's important that we point people more to Jesus personally. This is my personal thought process. We should be pointing them more towards Jesus. The church is just a tool. It's just a tool. It's not the goal, not the thing that we should be, you got to go to church, you got to go to church. No, you need to have a relationship with the Lord, and the Lord will let you know if you need to go to church. That's my personal thing.
No. Because people, and it's good to have a conversation about it, because my experience, and it seemed like we got away from it. We don't want people to come to church. We want to do everything outside of the church. We don't want to invite people to church. And people say, well, why can't you just save people right where they at? And people, and let's just be honest, we're living in a world and day and a time, everybody's not equipped. I'm not saying it's not easy. I'm not saying it's not, everyone's not equipped to do that. And when you break someone to the church, you have people who are spirit, that know how to do certain things, that are in tune in the spirit, that are sensitive, that can help. Me trying to lead, and I'm just using this as an example, me trying to lead a homosexual to Christ, it may not go well. It just may not go well with the way that I am. I'm not saying the Lord can't use me. It may not go well. But if I take them to the church where there's individuals, someone within the church house, and this is why the church don't have no pocket. Everybody want to do it on their own. Everybody want to be the superstar. And we have to get back in trying to fill the churches up, because there's people in the church that are qualified that can help people better than an individual. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be led by the Lord to one-on-one. I'm not saying that. So I don't want people to get the idea, get it twisted, that you cannot minister one-on-one, but everybody's not equipped. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you say you got to hold. You're not equipped to be, you'll mess people up. And I've experienced people trying to be Jesus Christ themselves and lead somebody and lead them down the wrong path. Just because I know the word and I know how to quote the word doesn't mean that the Lord wants me to do. Take them to the church. Get them in a different environment. And then maybe they can get convicted. But if we go looking for people and we go to talking to people and we're on their terms, on their turf, you know, we might get turned out if you're not strong enough. And people want to use this free license. Well, God called us. He told us specifically what to do and how to do it. But we as people who are full of sin don't do it the way he wants it to be done. We do it our way. It's like, well, we're the church. You should do it right then and there. Okay, we have churches set up for a reason. And if we're not trying to fill the church up with people who are hurting, people who are looking for something, then there's something wrong with us. If I'm sick, I'm going to go to the hospital because there's different doctors. There's different doctors. If I go to the hospital because I sprained my ankle, and they may find out a different doctor who may see something totally different that has to deal with the heart. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different calling. Everyone. So my thing is, we need to get back in drawing people to church. Because when you get to church...
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? So yeah. You said you would go to the hospital.
I have a question too, but...
you would go to the hospital because there's a lot of doctors there and they specialize. Why? Me personally, I'm going to go to my own doctor because my doctor knows me. And if they want to refer me to see somebody else, then I'll do that route.
Okay.
But I'm going
to
go to
but
my own
doctor. But you went
to
a doctor,
though,
right? But you went to a doctor. Your
air
doctor,
my doctor,
right?
Correct.
So when you when
Jesus
they the same
the
thing, they're going to church.
Jesus
when you're going to church, if you sitting up under your pastor and his team of elders and evangelists and whatsoever, if you're hurting, that's where you're going to go. You're going to go. You may not tell your problem, but you're going to go. Someone within that assembly,
but
we're going to be
not
something.
But they're not the ones that's healing you. They're not the ones that's going to heal you. Regardless of their position, they're not going to be the ones that's going to be.
That's the problem right there. I'm not saying it's in an individual. What I'm saying is we
but
need to get back.
To a church full of people that.
Well, okay, church full of people who have, some of the people that's in the church are gifted or that has an ability to see things that you can't see, to help in certain situations. So what I'm saying that is this, is if you think you can do it on your own, and that's what people are doing, they're going out here doing it on their own, there's no power. And when I say this, because they're doing it on their own, they're not being led by the Spirit. And that's totally, totally different conversation, but I'm gonna keep it there. The thing about it is if we are in love with Christ, and one of the things we're supposed to do is go to church on Sunday to fellowship, why can't we invite people who we know needing Christ to the house of the Lord? Why can't we do that? Why do we have to do it amongst ourselves? And all what I'm saying is this, the people that I know that I'm ministering to, I want them to come to my church because I feel comfortable because someone in that assembly will meet their need through Christ. I can't meet everybody's need. All I'm going to do, like everyone said, you're going to have a good conversation. We're going to draw them. And it's not just me. I'm going to be used, and there's other people. There's more with the three of us that's on the line right now. Us three is better than just one. because we're going to see something that one of us not going to see. And that might be the medicine that that person may need to get Christ in their life for real. Now, if I can go talk to an individual and they know that I'm Elder Oliver and I'm this and I'm that, okay, I've probably already lost half the people based on my title. But if I bring them into the house of the Lord where I serve, someone there is liable to pick up something, that I may not see. And a lot of people don't want to invite people to the church because, A, I'm going to be honest with you, A, because they want to be the superstar instead of Christ. Two, they don't want no one else getting the glory but themselves. Three, they want to have an ego problem about how the Lord used them to save this person. See, it's not about me. It's about getting the person saved. Now, can we do it on the job? You can. You can save someone the Lord on the job. But the thing is, we need to get back into filling up the church. That's why the church ain't powerful, because we're not trying to fill it up. We want to do it all outside and say to ourselves, this is what I'm doing, and make ourselves look puffed up. And that's all what I'm saying about it. Why can't we go back the way it was? Now, I'm not that old, but I've been in church my whole life. And one of the things we would do is bring someone to church. We didn't even have to be deep. Just bring them to church. Because if we got them into the church house, they would get saved. They would get saved. They may come 1 week, 2 weeks, but eventually they would get saved. And not just to go to my church, but go to any church, and they would get saved. Now,
if you're talking to somebody as well, it could be the same. If you have a conversation with somebody and you're talking about the Lord, you introduce Christ, they could get saved or they could not. It's the same scenario.
It's not the same. Okay. I'm going to say this again. We're living in a day right now where every church, the red light ought to be going off. People need to be running to the church. Now, when I'm saying that, yeah, people need to be running to the church. Now, people say, well, you are the church. Yes, we know that we are the church and we can do a lot of different things. But like I said in the very beginning with my statement, just because you got a driver's license does not mean you know how to drive. And some people drive recklessly. Some people out here are ministering recklessly. And then when people get hurt or they don't have favor, well, this is what such and such told me. I'm going to share this story, and I'm going to be quiet for a minute. This is his name. His name was Barry.
Yeah, you share that one. I want to share one with you, too, but go ahead.
His name is Barry, and he went to my father's church, and he was a newly Christian, family from New York. And another pastor was ministering to him and was trying to get him to come to his church. And it's a funny story because my wife, we're from Warren, Ohio. Warren ain't but 15 minutes any direction you go through. This man rode him all around Warren for an hour and a half, took him to the mall in Niles, and told him he was in Cleveland. Now, he didn't know no better because he's from New York. He didn't know. And he thought that he was really in Cleveland when he was really in Niles, about 10 minutes from his house. But he didn't know that. And this man was and see, the point that I'm using this story is people will minister to you thinking you're thinking one thing, and it's not even the truth. But because of the position and what they're saying, they give you a false illusion. And as simple as salvation is, and as simple as this thing is, we made it complicated. We don't want people to come to the church. We want to do it right then and there. In every instance that I see in the Bible, yeah, people have healed people. People have got healed and everything else. But a lot of times they took them to Jesus, where Jesus was at. And they could have done it right then and there themselves, but they took them to Jesus, A, because it's the final result. What I'm saying is if you serve a church and they're operating under the Spirit of the Lord, when you get them there, they're not going to be there too long before their hearts get convicted. You got to draw them to Christ. Not saying that I'm going to be a superstar. Oh, I led 5 people to the Lord today. Okay, what's that about? Why I got to put me before that? Why can't I just bring them to the church and let them get fixed, let them get healed, let them get, instead of them looking unto me, he saved me.
But, some of these church people, though, hold on. I'm just going to say a side comment, and then I'm going to be quiet. some of these church people, I had an experience where my daughter, you know, they have a lot of friends spend the night, and, you know, you spend the night in my house, you got to go to church on Sunday. That's the bottom line. Taking these girls to church, in Sunday school, the one little girl, I don't know, even know what happened, but it's like she was scarred. And I'm like, you got this little girl crying, and it wasn't a good reason. So it's kind of like, I mean, you could end up damaging people too, even at church. That's what I'm saying. It's the same. People are damaged at church because of the way you come at people in church.
I'm glad you brought that up. So I got a question for you. The same person that damaged that girl in the church are the same people that's going out with the license to minister to them. So my question is this.
Right,
if they can be damaged inside
bring
the, church,
them to the church, it can happen both ways, though. It can happen both ways. That's my point. It's not – I believe you got to do everything a balance. If the Lord is telling you, okay, minister to this person, you minister to that person right then. They may not be able to make it to church. That might be their last day on earth. So you have to do it as the Lord's telling you to do it.
Right. See, that's key. Do it the way the Lord's telling you to do it, being led by the Lord, being led by the Lord. A lot of folks are not being led. They're just doing what they want to do. That's the point I'm trying to make. We've gotten so far off of what the assignment is, and like we're saying, we shouldn't even be having a discussion about bringing people to the church. That shouldn't even be a discussion. But because so many people have been hurt, this, that, and the other, or why can't you do it yourself? Everyone's not equipped. Everyone's not qualified. And when I say that not saying I can't do it, because anyone can do anything at any given point in time. But why are our churches, why are we losing more people in the church when we ought to be inviting people to come to the church, is my question. I don't have the answer to that question, but it's a question. Why aren't we on crusades to invite people to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? It's just a question. And to me, the Lord is telling me we need to go back. At least and he's telling me the way that I was raised. You ain't inviting nobody
so you
to church.
That you
ain't
go to
nobody
church.
Coming to church.
So,
huh?
Do you believe that to remain saved or to get saved or to live a saved life, you should be in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday?
Well, to be honest with you, the way I was raised and everything, I mean, you don't have to be. If you have a relationship with the Lord, me personally, I have to be in church. I have to be in church. Not to say that I can't do it on my own. I have to be in church because the church is giving me something.
You think that's a religious thing, though?
Not religious. Because when you're in the church house, when you go to church and you among believers, everyone, and no matter what church you go to, you got some hell in every church. And that's not what I'm talking about. But there's some good people who can help. There's people who help me in the church. They don't even know that they help me just based upon me being there. It sustains me. It strengthens me. It helps me make it another day. Now, what happens is, if I don't go to church, I get convicted. And that's between me and the Lord.
See, that's
the Lord convicting me. Because,
exactly. So it's not a blanket thing to where people have to go to church.
My point is, if it's convicting me to be in church, I'm not going to look at all of the hell that's going on in the church. I'm going to look at what's helping me, maintaining me, guiding
me
to the next level.
But it's personal, though. At the end of the day, it's personal, whether you go or you don't.
It's personal. So, this is why folks, and this is just my opinion, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let the overseer talk. But this is my opinion. This is why people jacked up, because they think they can do it on their own. And the thing about it is you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's between me and the Lord. But he also have churches set up for us to go to get what we need when we need it. Now, I'm not saying that there ain't no hell in every church, because there is. But see, we don't even want to invite no one to church, because, like you said, well, what happened if they don't get? Okay, well, that's not up to us. Everyone's going to die. Everyone is appointed something. But we have to have enough faith to get them to the church house. Get them there so someone else other than us can see them, can help them. Now, I'm not saying that every church is going to be.
Let me make one comment, and then the overseer is going to speak. You know, the Lord said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. It's not what you do, but it's about what the Holy Spirit does through you. The Lord is the one who draws it. So whether that person is coming to the church building or whether that person you're speaking with just in a general conversation, the Lord is the one who draws them. Whether it's a church building or not.
I agree with you.
Whether it's a whole group of elders or not.
But the thing about it is go ahead, overseer, because I'm about to go somewhere in a minute. Go ahead.
Amen. Great comment. Great show. Amen. So if you don't mind, I want to read some scriptures. You guys shared a lot of information, and as you were sharing, I just decided to get some scriptures together. So I want to take a look at the books of Acts, and I'm going to go to Acts, the first chapter, because after Christ ascended back into heaven, he gave his disciples a mission, and he said, he told Peter, on this rock I shall build my church. And so going to Acts, the first chapter, I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the church mission changed after Christ ascended, because the church had become so corrupt. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, and we all are familiar with that. They were so corrupt. As you can see, they crucified our Lord and Savior. And so their mission was different. Their mission was to go out two by two. And I'm going to read another scripture for you. I'm going to share this scripture. It's coming from Mark, the sixth chapter. Verse 7, this is the mission of the 12. Mark, the sixth chapter, verse 7 says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, and I definitely understand that everyone out here is not a saint. And so that's unfortunate that we have so many false prophets out here at this day and time. That's why, as Paul said, it is our job to do as much as we can to witness to people and to bring people into church, or if you want to invite them to church. But our job as the church is really to go out. And if you have a church, if you want to bring them to church, or if you have a radio station, invite them back to the source, because at some point, you're going to have a pastor or a preacher. Someone's going to minister. And at that ministering, there's going to be an assembly, because that's what a church is. The church is us, ultimately, but we assemble. That's why the Bible says, fail not to what? Assemble yourselves. So we assemble ourselves, you know, maybe once, twice, two or three times a week to preach the word or to teach the word. And so it is our job to go forth, because Satan is working overtime. They're working double time to deceive the world, as he stated. The gentleman sounded like he said he was up to some type of deceit, because we have to work as much as we possibly can to bring in more people for Christ. But our mission is to go out. Yes, I do get, assembling, bringing back to the church. You both have great points, strong points. I have a question for Brother Derry. You kind of made me laugh earlier, before I go on. You said something about somebody was gay, I believe you said, and that it won't go well.
If a homosexual, and I'm sitting there trying to lead them to Christ, my best thing to do is bring them to the church, because someone in there can relate, can deal with them better than I can. So it ain't all about, everyone's not going, I'm not saying the Lord can't use me. I'm just being in general. I have an issue. And I'm not, and because I have an issue, okay, well, how do you deal with the issue? Let me get them to the church. Someone there can deal with that better than I can. But I'm not
going
to
share
this. Yeah, go right on ahead.
Let me share a story with you. Me and you are similar when it comes to that. But it's funny how God will use you. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't care for him at all before I got saved. Definitely didn't care for him after I got saved. But you know what the Holy Spirit told me? The Holy Spirit told me God loves them, Tim, just like he loves you.
Amen.
And if I send you, you have to go. And I get what you're saying. See, I know who I am. And you made a comment, and we just having a discussion. I'm just asking. It was funny, but I just wanted, for the sake of the listeners, you just never know how God may use you. Because I heard you say something about you might get turned out. I don't know if you were saying that a believer might get turned out. I'll share this with you. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And that's one thing the devil can't do. The devil can't turn me out because God lives in me. And I know right from wrong. And I don't really see it possible that a person that has the Holy Spirit in them, that God, let's say they've not ever been gay. I don't see the Holy Spirit allowing that because the Holy Spirit indwells and lives in us. It doesn't possess us, it indwells us. Meaning it's throughout us. Every muscle, your blood, your everything, your whole being. That's why the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy, with your whole being, I love God. So that's one thing. Just like, you know, because I love God, I'm delivered from certain type of living that I used to do. You know, God will deliver you from anything. And I remember that I used to be just like, when I used to work at this call center, man, I used to have this guy used to sit next to me. And he would always be nice to me, which, of course, you know, you can probably figure why. But he was just, you know, and the Spirit touched me and said, Tim, he's not being ugly to you in any way. I'm not going to lie, man, I couldn't stand, like, why in the world they sent me by this guy? Do you know, after they moved me to another department, that they sent me by another guy like that? And I said, okay. You're right. So I said, okay. So God is saying to me, Tim, you have to get comfortable in any situation that I put you in because it ain't about Tim. It's about the word of God going forward. It's about saving souls. And I remember, let me show you an even more funny story. I would have not ever fathomed this being when I was in the world. Let me show you how God works. I had two of them invite me to lunch. Now, I could have said, man, you out your mind. Man, everybody may think this about me. I said, you know what? I went to lunch with them because I knew who I was. I was married, not ever been interested in that, definitely not interested in it now. This was almost 20 years ago. I look at it and laugh, but you know what? That's an opportunity to speak the word, to witness to people. And they heard and they listened. See, a lot of times we got to take God's opportunity whenever it comes. We don't get to pick and choose our battles sometimes. We just don't. Being a believer can be uncomfortable at times. I've been in uncomfortable situations like, Lord, why are you putting me with this guy? And I'll tell you right now, the hardest person to witness to is a person that's got money, a person that's rich. They are the worst people to talk to because they trust this life and what they have so much. They'll tell you in a heartbeat before a person that's gay, I don't need God. You can keep that. I had a guy tell me that. You can keep that. I don't want that. I hear it all the time. They're the worst person to talk to. Most gay people are kind of open to listen to you. But people who are rich, wealthy, you can forget about that. That conversation is going to end so quick. And all you can do is say, brother, God bless you. You have a blessed day. I'm just saying. I'm not saying nothing against what you're saying. I'm just saying I understand it. But I'm
just
saying for our listeners
out there about being turned out. And what I mean, and I've seen it happen, and I'm not talking about in the gay situation. I'm just talking about people who get saved. They go out there and they try to do too much and they get turned out. I know people who've been saved
Turned out being gay. I'm just trying to understand the term turned out. Turned out being gay.
Okay. They're not believers no more. They get out there
and they didn't listen
to all this other stuff. And the next thing you know, that's what they're doing. They're selling bean pies. And then you were just praying the other day, and now you would have a meeting because they're out there operating not with the Holy Spirit. Now, yeah, if you've got the Holy Spirit and you're studying your word, it's kind of impossible to get turned out. But we all know, and this is the thing that of God, and we live the word of God, but some of us is just talking just to be talking. We don't live it. We just hear it because we heard someone else say it. It sounds good. So we're out here trying to build up self instead of build up God's church. And that's really all what I'm saying, because at the end of the day, we have to be led by the Spirit. And a lot of times we're not being led by the Spirit. And when I say that, it's just what I've observed. It's just what I see. And it's all about self. And when people start talking about self and what they do and how come you can do this, and it's like, oh, well, okay, well, why don't you just – now, I'm going to remove self. I'm going to just bring them to the church. Let the people in the church deal with it and let the deal with it right then and there. And, yeah, he sent them out two by two. And you go out there and you minister to people and you hope that you can draw them and draw them however the Lord leads you to draw them. Now, I'm not saying – because I don't want people to – I'm getting emails and texts now about this, that, and the other. And all I'm trying to say is this, is if we are – If we're led by Christ and we're supposed to be doing what Christ would have us to do, it is my job is to go out there and, yeah, tell people who don't believe about Christ, but also invite to where I fellowship at. This is just like me. If I'm talking to you, overseer, and we're talking, but I never invite you to my house for dinner, but I'm always talking about how good the food is and how blessed I am, but I never invite you to my house. How can you really receive from someone if you can't come to their house? Only thing that I'm saying is this. If we are who we say we are in Christ and we're going out doing what we're supposed to do, we ought to be able to tell people to come to our house and let's fellowship. Because it's better if all three of us are in a room and we're dealing with some people that have some issues, it's better than all three of us together spiritually trying to help this one individual. You might see something I don't see. You might can minister better than what I can. But we never know this if we want to try to do it by ourselves. I know a brother right now. He keeps track of how many souls he saved, and he'll brag about it.
And he not saving.
And I'm like, okay. And I don't understand the point. and I had the conversation a couple of times, and I just leave it alone. Because people want to build up themselves before they build up Christ. And like, I'm listening to what my wife was saying, and I'm listening to what you said. And we always, and church folks is good for this, we always want to take the shortcut. We don't never want to deal with the truth. Bring them to the church. Let the church, let the people in the church, because when we go to church, that's what we're trying to do, help people who are hurting. The people who are in church, that go to church, that's serving the Lord, they want to help people as they come in. But if we don't ever go out and bring them to come into the church, what good is it? You know, that's just all what I'm saying. What good is it? We just at church. We just there for what?
Just real quick, can I address what you said? I'm going to turn it back over to you. Just real quick, because you said something that I definitely have to address about, you know, someone being turned out. So I'm going to make sure I'm understanding what turnout means. So not necessarily a person dealing with someone that's gay being turned out, becoming gay, but just being associated with people of the world that's non-believers and basically end up doing what they're doing. Is that what I'm understanding?
Exactly. Yeah,
okay.
You're understanding.
Okay. So you made a comment that you said that the person was a believer, and then I guess they became like not saved.
Right.
Right. So let me read you a scripture. Go over to 1 John, because I'm going to make the assumption that you're not saying a person was once saved, but we're going to go ahead and clarify that right now. We're going to address that. So this is 1 John, the second chapter. Amen. Because you know, if you don't know, you know that I'm popular for once saved, always saved. You can't teach me nothing different. There's no way I can be convinced something different. The reason why I say, because I remember this guy, he was supposed to be a young pastor. And I remember when he was young, he was pastoring. And then all of a sudden, we saw him in the club. I'm like, well, what happened to this guy? His name was Edwin. I'm like, why is this guy in the club? And then he was saying that he wasn't saved anymore. Let me show you what the scripture says about stuff like that. This is 1 John, the second chapter, verse 18. I'm going to try to read it swiftly. It says, little children, in the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now watch what it says about the spirit of Antichrist. This is the spirit that's not of God. It says, they went out from us, but they were what? Not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. All glory to the Most High. There is no such thing as a person. I can't be turned out. My friends can drink, smoke, cut up. They can be all around me. They can't turn me out. I can't be turned
Let me say this. I've seen people, and when I say I've seen people, and you know, we may disagree, but what I want to say is I've seen people do great things in the Lord, and then because of they don't, and if you have a personal relationship with Christ, you're growing. And at some point, if you stop reading your word, if you stop praying, if you stop doing the things that you did prior, if you just totally stop, that's why I have to be in church. Because if I just stop doing what I'm doing, I'm going to be led because of the devil. It is working overtime. And the devil can't make me do anything, but what he can do is he can present in my brain. And if I'm not full of the word, if I'm not studying on a daily basis, I can't get turned out. I can't.
So,
I don't drink. I never had an alcohol problem. I never had a drug problem. But there's certain things that if I don't keep myself grounded and rooted in this word, I will start because the conviction that I have right now is because the Lord is convicting me because I have that personal relationship with him. But if I keep putting my hand up, I'm not reading my word today. I'm not doing this today. I'm not doing this today. And I'm around people who do things that are not godly. I'm going to slip right into that trap.
Oh,
and
no,
I'm
not. Let me finish my point. Let me finish my point. Because I have to say this because I hear what you're saying, but I think there's a disagreement here. But we're going to try to find out if that's what this is, okay? So what this scripture is saying, that there are people who come into church and they're fake. That's why Christ spoke about what? Wolves in sheep's clothing. You can't change a wolf. You can't change a wolf. A wolf is a wolf. A sheep is a sheep. There are wolves in sheep's clothing all day long in the church. There are wolves in the pulpit sitting right there preaching the word every Sunday, in and out. And if you don't let me say it, I got to say this. I got to finish this point. You cannot lose yourself. the Holy Spirit is so powerful, it can deliver you from anything. I know that for a fact. I'm talking about stuff that I say I never think I would ever stop doing. And I know it ain't Tim. That's what Paul said. It ain't Tim. It's the God that said, it's the Holy Spirit in me that has made me turn a blind eye to the things that say, man, I used to love that. And that was disgusting. But I used to love that. I can't go back to it. That's why.
So then let me ask this. Okay.
We
I
are
agree
made
with
perfect.
You. We'll ask you one
question. And we mature in the Spirit. So all I'm saying to the Holy Spirit is
ask.
That. Okay.
I just have
let
one
me,
question.
The point.
No,
let's
I'm going to finish. I just want to ask the question. Then let me throw this question out there to you because I know the answer to the question. How often do you study right now?
How often do I study?
Yeah, how do you study?
How often do I study my Bible? I study my Bible not almost every day, but close to almost every day. I pick up my Bible.
So let me ask
my
question. So let me ask a question. When was the last time that you went? When was the last time you went? Let's just say I'm gonna give you 90 days that you didn't look at your Bible.
Oh, I'll give you one even better. And I'm going to answer your question after I finish my point. What the scripture is simply saying is that there are people who will be in the church. They're not saved. They never were saved. They never were. This is all the scripture says. They were never saved. That's why I said, but if they were of us, they would have no doubt. In other words, you would stay in the Holy Spirit. You would stay saved. See, what I'm saying to you is when I left the church, what was that, 2018, I believe, I announced to the pastor at the end of 2017, 2018, I would be leaving the church. And he asked me to say, well, brother, when you say you're leaving the church, do you mean permanently? I'm leaving this church permanently. I'm not leaving God permanently. That's impossible. I told him, you know, because he thought, you know, I was leaving God. No, I'm not leaving God. I understand the Bible well, good. I ain't going to say, you know, I'm perfect at it, but I understand the Bible well enough to know that, no, the Holy Spirit lives here. And when I left the church, that's when I was upset about some things, mainly not at Tim, but at the church, how people will come to church and just play God. Stuff that I saw the church shouldn't have been. People wronging the first lady in the church while the pastor's up preaching. Not only just in that church, you can go to a number of churches. You go, just like you said, there's mess in every church you go to. I got tired of it. And so I said, you know what? God, you show me. You lead me. And at that time, I got another job, so I started working on Sunday, so I couldn't go to church on Sunday. But I had started studying my Bible more than just 90 days. I had, like, put my Bible up on the shelf. But you know what? I never stopped my relationship with God. That didn't mean Tim was going out and go hang out at the clubs or strip clubs or go hang out and go drink and smoke, do stuff I ain't never did. That didn't mean that. The devil ain't got that much power. The devil is a lie. He ain't got that much power. I just was disgusted with what I saw in the church. I just didn't pick up my Bible. But I was convicted. Trust me, I was convicted daily. Tim, you need to do better. Tim, you need to read your Bible. Tim, you shouldn't let that bother you that much. But it did. So I said, you know what? I need to start back picking up my Bible. And later on that year, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. If you do nothing else, pick up your Bible, start studying your Bible. And maybe it was like maybe almost 6 months later after I left the church, I started back studying my Bible. So I made sure that I maintained a relationship with my God, with Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the reason that I did that because
okay.
I always
pray and I pray and ask
God for spiritual wisdom and knowledge. Oh, go ahead.
The only thing that I'm saying and my point I'm trying to say is, and this isn't for you or for my wife, but we always want to say, you know, because I understand our battles and I understand what we went through. But there are other people who just ain't on that level who don't have that relationship. And because they don't have that relationship, who don't feel convicted, who don't get upset that they don't go to church, who don't have no feelings whatsoever, and these are the people who's out here that don't have a relationship with God. All they have is, I can't remember the scripture, they have the form of godliness, but they don't have, they're just quoting what they heard somebody else to say. they're putting on a costume.
Well, they say.
When they put the costume on, there's no power in the costume. And when what I'm saying is this. There's some people, and it's just my opinion, and I'm going to leave it right where it is, who go to church who don't have a relationship with Christ. They don't. There's some people that I've seen have a relationship with Christ, but for some reason, they dibbled and dabbled in the world, playing both sides. At some point, they got turned out. And it's throughout the whole Bible.
What I'm saying is this.
People do give lip service. I'm not talking about lip service. I'm not talking to, I'm talking about the people. I've been in battle with people.
That's not
okay,
real.
Okay, all what I'm saying is this. I've been with people who
were
for some reason. No, they wasn't faking the funk. I dealt with a man right now. He was on it. And because of hurt from people in the church, he turned away from people that hurt him, and he spiraled downhill. Now, right
he's
now,
never
he's,
come back.
He's at the bottom, and no one can tell me or convince me that this man was not 100% doing what the Lord wanted him to do. But because something,
you're saying that he was saved and he lost his salvation.
Oh, he was definitely saved. He definitely saved.
And so,
and right now, because of the lifestyle that he's living, right now is he turned his back. He turned his back on God. God didn't turn his back on him. He turned his back on God because
so you're saying he's not saved anymore?
He's not. He's just the way he's living his life.
He was never
he's,
saved.
He's not. I'm going to bring you back on because I wanted to talk about this some more because there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of meat I'm leaving on the bone. I know that I am, but I got sidetracked here for a second, and I apologize for being sidetracked. But I'm trying to do two things at once. But I don't want to lose my focus on what my typical conversation that I wanted to have, and it really is that we, and it's just my. This is Derek's opinion, and you take it for what it's worth. You can flush it down the toilet. You can go right over your head. Myself, and what the Holy Spirit is telling me, this is just for me. It ain't even nobody for me. We need to go back and bring people into the church. Bring them back to the church. Now, when I say that, I have a couple minister friends of mine who are telling me, well, why can't you just do it yourself? And is the calling is bigger than me. I want to bring them to the church where other people who are like-minded like me, who love Christ like me, who are different and have different skill sets, can help them better than I can. I'm going to be a vessel, throw some seeds, and lead them to church. Now, whether they come to my church or a different church, that's what I'm going to do.
This is not a comment. This is not a comment towards you, but this is just a comment. You know, a lot of Christians, they're living a defeated and fruitless life. They're living like the world is living. So they don't walk in the fullness and the control of the Holy Spirit. So that's why they're not able to witness or lead someone to Christ because they're not walking and letting the Spirit lead them. And they can't communicate the faith of Christ effectively. You can't communicate effectively the purpose of Christ and how you can't draw anybody. So
what I'm saying is I agree with what you're saying.
Then you don't feel comfortable doing that. You're not going to feel comfortable because maybe you need to get yourself together. You need to make sure that you walk in this life the right way. Maybe that's the reason you don't feel comfortable trying to lead somebody else.
People, they're not, because
all what I'm saying is what you're saying, I agree with you, but there's another side to that as well. And my thing is this, not that they don't feel comfortable, the fact of it is they're not, they don't have the, people want to think and pretend to be, it's Halloween time. It's almost Halloween.
People got the guy, that's why.
And when people put a costume on, right, they're not equipped. And the reason they're not equipped is because they got a costume on.
You have to do the work. You gotta study. You gotta study, right? You have to know before you can try to draw somebody else. So if you don't feel comfortable in your walk and you timid, then of course you're not gonna do it. So
it's not about people feeling comfortable. Is because right now everybody's comfortable in the church. That's just the problem. Everybody's comfortable. And everyone is comfortable, and that's part of the problem because everyone is comfortable. We shouldn't be comfortable, and that's my point I'm trying to say. And I don't know.
You should be confident in what you stand on.
What I'm confident on, you're right. I am confident to a certain extent. But also to a certain extent, I also know limitations. I also know that we are to be building up God's kingdom and building up the church. We can go out two by two and do what we're supposed to do, but also we got to bring them into the house. That's what we bring them into the house. It's not my job to clean them. My job is to bring them to the house in order for them to get cleaned up.
Okay, let me ask you.
And in order to do that,
You know how you said if we're all together and I don't get invited to the house or you don't invite, then, you know, wouldn't you think something was up? Before you can invite somebody to the house, don't you think there needs to be a conversation?
A conversation with what?
With the person
The thing about this is this. I'm a testimony. Every time I go out, I have a testimony. Just talking to me is a testimony. I love the Lord. That's it. I love the Lord. So if I'm going out and people know that I love the Lord, oh, that's Elder Oliver. He just this, that, and that. Well, come on to where I get my spiritual word from. Come where I fellowship. You can come into my, and you can get just what I got because the same Lord that did it for me can do it for you. Come on to the house of the Lord. What we do, and this is what we do as saints, and I'm going to say it because everyone wants to tiptoe around the matter. I'm just going to put it out there. We don't want to fill up God's house, but we want to be the star of God's house. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. If it's me doing it, I'm the headliner. Oh, Elder Oliver doing this. Oh, Elder Oliver doing it. It's my job to move Elder Oliver out the way and build up God's house, his house, not my house. His house. And how do you do that? You have to submit to the Lord. You have to be committed to the Lord. It's not about me. And when I'm out there, and this is just me, because I have the Holy Ghost. I know what the Lord tells me on a daily basis. And he's telling me it's time to build up God's house. Now, I can go out here all day long and minister and do and be solo and do it all by myself. Or I can do it the easy way and bring more people and draw more people if I bring them into the house of the Lord where there's power, where there's liberty.
You're talking about building God's kingdom.
But you have to be spiritually minded. You have to be spiritually to do it. People say, well, I do this. Okay, I'm not worried about what you do. This is what we are to do as Christians. When is the last time you invited someone to come to church? When is the last time you say, invite your whole family to come to church? Not because you was on the star, you was speaking, or you was doing this, just in general. Now, everyone want to get quiet about that. When is the last time you invited someone to church when you wasn't speaking? I'm not talking about you or me. I'm just saying in general. Just in general. We got cousins. We got nieces, nephews, friends, coworkers. When last you told them to come to church? Now, and then the people say, well, there's... Why you got to have them come to church? Why can't you just minister to them right then and there? You can do that if you're being led by the Spirit. But if you're being led by the Spirit will tell you, get them in the church house where there's more people. I'm not the only minister. I'm not the only preacher. There's other people that can help them if I get them there. Someone else can help them, get them to where the next level. The Holy Spirit, that's what.
But
the,
if you are, if you
Christ's
are a minister, if you are a preacher, you should already be equipped to lead somebody, no matter where you are.
It ain't about being. See, there we go. That's. I'm glad you said that.
I'm just asking.
I'm
it's
equipped.
A question.
I know,
should you
and
not?
I'm gonna answer your question.
Did you not
can,
go through training? Did
I've
you not
been
go?
In situations.
Did you not?
I've been in a lot of situations where I had to minister and save people right there on the spot. That comes with the territory. That comes with the territory. You should be able to do that.
Okay, I'm not asking
it's
you like personally. This is not your personal testimony.
It's
I'm
not,
asking
but
you
I'm
like
just saying,
as a church.
For
as
most
a,
ministers, uh-huh. anybody that's walking with the Lord that has a title or just walking with the Lord that has a relationship with the Lord, there's been situations that you had to minister right there. You couldn't wait for this, that, or the other. You had to. But we're living in a day and age where the devil is busy. It's my job, just on GP purposes, get them to the church house. Now, if the Lord takes it to another level for me to have a conversation.
We're living in a day and time, they might not be able to make it to the church. So at the end of the day, we should all be capable of ministering to them
okay.
where they are, as well as getting, it should be both. Should it not?
Okay.
It shouldn't be just
what
one
I'm saying
thing.
Is
it should
this.
Be both.
Everybody
we should
is
do
not
all
equipped.
That we should be doing.
Every okay, okay. Like I said, this will be a day.
It's a whole
this
body.
Be a
it's
day.
Not one person does this. What? It's a we're
no,
a whole body.
We all
everybody
part of the
has
body.
A part to
you're
play.
Right. Exactly. Everyone has a part to play, and my part is this: I cannot do certain things with certain people. That's why I brought up the gay situation. But if I bring them to the church, there's somebody in the church. That is more
you know that
and
that situation. That's where you
going.
You might end up in that situation. So be prepared.
Well, I'm just saying, if I end up
ready.
In a situation spiritually, see, this is what I'm saying. Spiritually, and just being real with a situation, you know, I can minister to anybody. I'm not saying I can't. I just use me as an example,
right.
And that's a little bit of a touchy situation. For me, now, can I deal with the situation? Of course I can. Am I confident? Of course I am. But I'm also saying just being real with the situation, being real with the Lord and being real, that's why he's saying I can't do it. I have a team of people that are around, that can do it better than I can. But if I can get them there, if I can get them there and someone else can, okay, I can get them there. It's just like when you plant flowers. Some people put the stuff down. Some people throw the seeds in. Some people water it. Some
right.
people nurse. People have different parts of it. And if we're supposed to be building up God's kingdom together, collectively, I'm saying that we need to be out here building up. If I'm not 100% strong over here, but you know what I can do? I can get you to come to church.
Okay.
I can encourage you to come to church because there's somebody there that can help you.
So quick question.
It's just like in my family, if somebody is out there, my wife can contest to this, and she sees someone needs some help, she's going to help them. I didn't see it. We went to a restaurant, and I she don't even know I seen it. We went to a restaurant, me and my wife. We sitting there, and this happened, I think, it was last week, 2 weeks ago. And whoever waited on us got tipped. But there was another waiter there, and I see my wife put some money in his waitress' hand. I don't know what it was about. I don't know what the Lord told her to do. But she saw something that I didn't see. And whatever she saw, the Lord used her to be a blessing to someone else. Now, I seen it with my natural eyes, but spiritually, I had to stay out of it because she did something that the Lord was telling her to do, that she noticed something. Now, because she did that, she was operating under the Spirit. Now, I was under the Spirit, too. The Lord didn't tell me to do that. The Lord didn't show me to go do that way because the Lord didn't. He used her at that particular time. This is what I want you to do, and that's what she did. And she was obedient and did it. Now, I saw it. Now, if I didn't take her to the restaurant, and I said if I didn't invite her to come to the restaurant, it would have never have happened. All what I'm saying is when you go to church and you invite people to church, people will see things that you may not have seen. But he still used me to draw them to come to church for someone else pick up and water it and to bless it. That's all what I'm saying. We want to be Jesus and do Jesus' work. No, it's not for me to save everybody I come in contact to. I have to bring somebody into the church house. That's what we're supposed to do. And until we get off our high horse and start saying we're going to do it ourselves, the church will always be weak and we won't see no one in the church but us. When we go to church, who are we preaching to? Us.
Well, you gotta invite people. That's what the commission is. You got to invite people two by two. That's why the church is not growing.
But they're going out there with the wrong message. They're going out there because they're not
equipped to do what they were supposed to do.
And back in the 80s, when we was coming up, and I got to get done because we're in overtime right now. I'm going to thank Pepsi in advance for right now for paying for this extra time that we own. But what we did was back in the day when we went out and we witnessed, we had there was a certain way we had to go through classes of how to minister, or how to witness, and how to evangelize. We would go out and talk to people. It was just something that we did when we, and I don't see it, not saying that it's right or wrong or indifferent, but we're living in a different age right now, and I'm going back to what I know. And what I know is we need to just be hitting the street, inviting people to come to where we serve Christ at. And if we can't do that, then there's something wrong with us. And that's all I'm going to say. If you can't invite people to come to your church and see how you really live and how you really shout and how you really commune with God, if you can't do it and you think you're going to do it out there in the street, then keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. But next week, I'm going to talk about the superstars of the church. That's next week, superstars of the church. And that's what we got going on really right now. I really ain't got time to get into it, but that's what we're going to talk about. It's just conversation we're trying to have. Hopefully that you can debate it with your spouse or your cousins or your friends about what we're talking about, that you can have a dialogue. And there is, and then this is my opinion, it's something I want to talk about today. Next week, I'm going to talk about the superstars of the church, and we're going to keep it moving from there. I just feel that we're in the day and age of if you're a true disciple of the Lord, then the next couple of weeks, you really going to want to listen to what I'm saying. You may not disagree with everything that I say, and that's fine. You know, more power to you, but, you know, the Lord is leading me in a different direction. And the direction he's leading me into is going back old school church, old school. And the way you go old school is you pray, you fast, and you do what you got to do to get people to Christ. You draw them to church. And when you draw them to church, their testimony could be somebody else's deliverance because of what you went and got them. And because of what they're going through could be help someone else when someone else comes into the church. But what we're doing is we're preaching to the same people week after week, Sunday after Sunday, month after month. Ain't inviting nobody to church, period. There's a problem with that. I got a problem with that. And it starts with me. If I can't go out here and invite people to come to church, this group come to church, that group come to church, if I can't take a few minutes and minister and take time to make phone calls to the prisons and to halfway houses and say, hey, won't y'all come to church? We got a good service. We can be a great help, inspiration to you. If I can't take a few minutes out of my day, out of my week, to invite someone to come to where I serve at, then there's a problem with me. Yeah, I can do it myself. I can preach myself, but it's not about me. It's about building up God's kingdom. And no, every church ain't right. Every church got some hell in it. Yeah, I ain't talking about the hell that's in the church right now. I'm just talking about the good people that come to church that wants to help people who's searching for Christ, who wants to change their condition. But what we want to do, we want to change our status. And like Overseer said, the hardest people to witness to is people that got money. The hardest people to try to teach is people who've been walking with the Lord for a long time and think they got all the answers. And we don't want to tell the truth about situations. Some of us, and I might be included in this number, going out here not equipped, not being led by the Holy Spirit because we don't know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we're doing what we think we want to do and we want to put in the name of the Lord, but we don't want to invite no one into the Lord's house. That's what it is. So, for those that's listening, that goes to whatever church they go to, when you go to church on Sunday and you see the same people and the same people and the same people, at some point, you don't want to see people get delivered. You don't want to see people accept Christ. You don't want to see people be healed. You don't want to see some people with some type of success in the Lord. But when it's the same believers doing the same thing over and over and over, it's like, and I'm going to say this to all the fellas that plays football. If you play football, one of the worst things that you get tired of doing is inter-squad scrimmages. Inter-squad scrimmages, you playing the same defense, the same team over and over and over and over. You want to see some new team. You want to see some new technique. You want to see something different so you can grow. But if you're doing the same scrimmages, you know what, who you going up against every week, okay, kind of get monotonous. And if you're living for the Lord, one thing about living for the Lord is not monotonous, it's exciting, it's happiness. And that's all what I'm saying about the situation. I felt like I didn't talk too much, but I also feel like this. I also feel the Lord is dealing with me to try to build the church, help and be a disciple and build the church up. Now, if y'all don't want to, you don't have to, you ain't invite nobody to church. I ain't telling you to invite no one to church. But I know Derek Oliver is going to start inviting people, groups, to church because there's more people in the church that I teach with, that I study with, that I pray with, that has better insight than what I have, that can help people that I'm going to invite to church maybe get to these people's next level. It ain't all about me because I don't have all the answers. And I can't minister and save everybody. But what I can do for everybody is invite them to come to the house of the Lord. And whenever we're going to have a conversation about inviting someone to the house of the Lord, there's a problem. There is a problem. Now, when I go to work tonight and I talk to people, and I minister however the Lord leads me to do it, that's between me and the Lord and that individual. But at the end of the day, I'm going to end it. You need to come to my church on Sunday. Or if you can't make it to my church, go to a church on Sunday. And encourage them to get somewhere where people can help them do what they got to do. I can't help everyone. But how I can help everyone is send them somewhere where they can get some help. When my wife gets sick, the first thing I want to do is let's go to the hospital. Because someone there can help her better than I can. I can't see the hurt that's inside.
And you know she ain't going.
Pretty much right. And that same type of attitude, the same type of attitude people got when it comes to go to church. They don't want to go. And next thing you know, they could have got diagnosed with something that they've been carrying for years. And that's how they end up getting up out of here because they never went to the doctor and got checked out. I cannot believe we went the whole distance. I just got the thing. I got 90 seconds. We got to get out of here. So in case it hangs up and I didn't say my proper goodbyes, tomorrow night we have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Now that tomorrow night Bible study, you'll be a Bible study. It's Bible. You'll get a lesson. D&K, we just had a conversation tonight. People like to call it. We were just discussing something. Also, I believe Thursday we're going to have Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries Thursday at 7 p.m. And then Bishop Omar Zachary Praise Tabernacle Church on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Also on Wednesday night, we have Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall at 9 p.m. on Wednesday. Also, we have the Overseer, Spiritual Sense of Life on Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Growth Time. Also, we have, of course, D&K Bible Break every Monday. We also have Lent Break on Wednesdays at 8 a.m. If you want to get a encouraging word in on Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., we have a show called Lent Break. And with that being said, we're going to just say hopefully you learned something tonight.
And Tim, I want to thank you for being on tonight. But I think we got like 10 seconds and they can kick us off. Oh, all anytime, bro. Anytime. We're going to definitely get back on and discuss some of the things we talked about. Wife, love you. See you in a few. And for all those that are listening and watching me, we'll be back next Monday at 7 p.m. with the Superstar Saints. It's going to be my topic.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, good night.